Please stand for our gospel lesson. Last week we celebrated Pentecost, and it's customary in the church calendar that the following Sunday is Trinity Sunday. Trinity, of course, designates our belief in a triune God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 28, early evidence that the first followers of Jesus had a triune understanding of God. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O gracious and loving God, we thank you for the Sabbath day that you've called us together that we might worship you. And we thank you especially for the gift of your holy word. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they might be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I promise not to do that. This has probably been one of the hardest sermons that I've ever had to write. Not because I haven't taken time to think about it, because I've been contemplating this sermon for months. And not because I've been pretty emotional lately, although that's true, and my tear ducts have really had a workout lately, and they might overreact at any moment, so watch out. And not just because I'm not very good at leave-taking, although that is pretty true as well, but because I still had so much that I wanted to say. It's been so hard to limit my focus and discern what direction to go. I understand now completely when Jesus in the Gospel of John says to his disciples, "I still have many things to say to you before I leave." So this week it was a struggle to try to hone down this sermon to something that was manageable. Something that would perhaps be three thoughts woven together, or in traditional language, a three-point sermon. So I finally decided on three different thoughts that I've had. One being leave-taking, the other, let your life speak, and then legacy. And just like the Trinity is a mystery that we can't understand, you may not understand how these three weave together either, but hopefully you can find the connection. I think that it's true that most of us really don't like endings. We prefer beginnings and new starts. I completely agree with Robert Fulghum when he says that he has a hard time with goodbyes. In his book, The Rituals of Our Lives, From Beginning to End, he talks about learning to juggle and juggling. And then he talks about the rituals in our lives of hello and goodbye. And this comes from his book, The Rituals. The secret of juggling is inner harmony and knowing how to let go. There's a philosophy of life in that statement. As I learn to juggle the parts of my life, I have come to understand that meaningful rituals have a lot to do with gaining that inner harmony and making letting go as much a part of life as holding on. Rituals anchor us to a center while freeing us to move on and confront the everlasting unpredictability of life. The paradox of ritual patterns and sacred habits is that they simultaneously serve as solid footing and springboard, providing a stable dynamic in our lives. Rituals of hello and goodbye are basic to all relationships between people. Hello, how are you? Well, hello, fine, how are you? Just fine, thank you. So long, take care, keep in touch, let's get together, see you soon. These entrance and exit lines are a part of our daily onstage life. And Fuldrum says, I love hellos. I'm a hello enthusiast. When I travel and have time on my hands at airports, I sometimes stand in the middle of the arrival lounge where people are awaiting passengers from an incoming plane. It's exciting being around people carrying welcome signs and flowers, romantic to see the spruced up lover come to meet the lovee, and heartwarming to be near family reunions. The joyous cries of hellos are infectious. Here she comes, daddy, daddy, it's him, Bill, Mary, over here. Welcome back, welcome home, it's so good to see you. I like all the laughing and hugging and kissing and excitement. More than once I've caught myself just before I hugged a perfect stranger. It's a little weird being really glad to see someone you've never met. The rituals of reunion are contagious. And then he says, exits and farewells are not so easy. I don't hang around the departure lounges at airports. I hate goodbyes, and I'm not good at them. I hate goodbyes, and I'm not good at them. Nevertheless, leave-taking truly is an important ritual in our lives, and it is vitally important that the leave-taking is done well because it sets the tone for the next chapter. It sets the tone for the next chapter for both the one leaving and for those staying behind. One chapter really needs to be completed before you rush ahead into the next. It's important that you let go of me as your lead pastor so that you can fully embrace Pastor Rick as your next lead pastor. That also might mean letting go of the ways we have worked together in order to make room for the new ways that Pastor Rick and Pastor Caleb might lead you. It also means that you have to do your best not to compare and contrast and judge, and to do your best to encourage and affirm the ministries that you will have together. Times of transition and change are never easy, but they are necessary to prepare the way for the new thing that God is about to do. Please welcome Pastor Rick, Jody, and their family with the same openness and enthusiasm that you welcomed me. I also wanted to take the opportunity this morning to remind you all of how gifted you are. You are gifted as individuals and especially as a congregation. Never forget that we are always better together. We're better together when we use our God-given gifts for the common good to build up the body of Christ, for growing deeper and for reaching wider and for celebrating the new life that we have in Christ. There are so many gifts that you have, and I don't even think you always affirm that or know that. But I've experienced these gifts here: faithfulness, perseverance, compassion, generosity, servant leader and at the same time risk-taking leadership, hospitality, to say nothing of your musical gifts. You have a teachable spirit and are usually willing to try something new. Usually. It's been amazing to watch you grow in your discipleship and to witness how some of you have truly lived into that giftedness as you answer a call to God in your life. I learned recently while reading a book by Parker Palmer on vocation, not vacation, but vocation, that there is an old Quaker saying, "Let your life speak." Palmer says that he thought he knew what that meant early on in life. He thought it meant to let your highest truth and your values guide you and you live up to those demanding standards in everything you do. 30 years later, though, he says he realized it meant something else. Before you tell your life what standards and values you have decided to live up to, let your life tell you what you are. Let your life and the truths of your life embody the values that you will represent. In other words, let the God that created you, the God that gifted you, the God that lives inside you, to listen to that and then let your life speak with integrity the truth. Use what God has given you and let that be the foundation of your life. Then your life will speak love and grace and hope. My favorite modern day or contemporary theologian is Frederick Buechner. And Frederick Buechner, in his book, Now and Then, A Memoir of Vocation, writes this: listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery it is, in the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, and smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments. All moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. Life itself is grace. Let your life speak and live that life to the fullness. I've asked Tom to sing a song this morning. I asked him months ago, so you can tell that I have been thinking about this sermon for a while. And it's a song by Josh Groban, and it's entitled Granted. And the words are in your bulletin so that you would be sure to have those words to think about.
If you have a dream, go chase it. If you feel hope, don't waste it. If you find love, embrace it. And never take a single breath for granted. If you have a light, go find it. The story is yours, go write it. Our days are counted on this planet, so I won't take...
So truly, never take a breath, one breath for granted. Let your life speak and live life to the fullest. If you have a dream, go chase it. If you feel hope, don't waste it. If you find love, embrace it. Never take one single breath for granted. The story's yours, go write it. Truly, let your life speak. Which brings me to legacy. I've never really thought much about legacy. I've not given much thought to it. I've tried just to let my life speak to the best of my ability, with the hope that God would use me to help others to love God and to love others better. I truly love that passage from 1 Corinthians 3 that Roland read for us this morning. It's about a church that's squabbling. The house churches in Corinth are not getting along. One group says that they follow Apollos, and another group follows Paul, and another group follows who knows. But they're not getting along. And so Paul writes them this word of encouragement. And he reminds them that it's not about the leader. It's all about God. And he says it doesn't matter whether it's Apollos or Paul. Paul reminds them that he planted, but that Apollos watered, but it was God that gave the growth. In other words, they both had a part in the process, but the results belonged only to God. Truly, we are God's servants working together, and our work builds upon what was planted long before us, and the growth, the harvest, will not be ours either. It belongs to God. In the musical Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton is about to be shot by Aaron Burr in that tragic duel, and he ponders, what is a legacy? And in the musical, the next line is, a legacy is planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. I wrote some notes to a song someone else will sing. That's what legacy is. Legacy is planting seeds and then waiting patiently to see if those seeds will take root and if they'll grow. The best any of us can ever do is plant seeds of faith, hope, and love, and then prayerfully step back and wait to see if they will bear fruit. I was asked recently what it would be that I would take from here, from my 7 years with you. In other words, what have I learned while I have been here as your lead pastor? And I've learned that it's important to take risks, and it's not always wise to play it safe. I've learned how important it is to know the congregation you have been entrusted to, and I've been constantly reminded of how fulfilling it is to walk and work alongside you. Probably not many of you remember my first sermon here, and some of you weren't even here 7 years ago. But this morning, I'd like to end with a story that I shared with you that very first Sunday. And it's a story entitled Partners, and it comes from Rabbi Mark Gelman's book, Does God Have a Big Toe? Stories about stories in the Bible. And the story goes like this. Before there was anything, there was God. A few angels and a huge swirling glob of rocks and water with no place to go. And the angels asked God, why don't you clean up this mess? So God collected rocks from the huge swirling glob and put them together in clumps and said, some of these clumps of rocks will be planets and some will be stars and some of these rocks will be just rocks. Then God collected water from the huge swirling glob and put it together in pools of water and said, some of these pools of water will be oceans, and some will become clouds, and some of this water will be just water. Then the angel said, "Well, God, it's much neater now, but is it finished?" And God answered, "Nope." On some of the rocks, God placed growing things and creeping things and things that only God knows what they are. And when God had done all this, the angels asked God again, "Is the world finished now?" And God answered, "Nope." God made a man and a woman from some of the water and dust and said to them, "I'm pretty tired now. Please finish up the world for me. Really, it's almost done." But the man and woman said, "We can't finish the world alone. You have the plans and we are way too small." "You're big enough," God said, "but I agree to this. If you keep trying to finish the world, I will be your partner." The man and the woman asked God, "What's a partner?" And God answered, "A partner is someone you work with on a big thing that neither of you can do alone. If you have a partner, it means that you can never give up because your partner is depending on you. On the days you think I'm not doing enough, and on the days I think you're not doing enough, even on those days, we are still partners, and we must never stop trying to finish the world. That's the deal." And they all agreed to the deal. Then the angels asked God, "Is the world finished yet?" And God answered, "I don't know. Go ask my partners. Go ask my partners." I celebrate the partnership that we have enjoyed these last 7 years. And I echo Paul's words to the people of Philippi. "I thank my God whenever I think of you, and when I pray for you all, my prayers are always joyful because of the part you have taken in the work of the gospel from the first day until now. Of one thing I am certain, the one who started the good work in you will bring it to completion. So partners, keep up the good work. Amen."